And we're back.
And we're back.
It's like we never went away. It is same small room, same shorts on, Jeff. You can't see Jeff, but that's a blessing, actually. Welcome back.
Yeah.
More Jumpstart, more fun, more Andy, more Rob. This, as you all know, is Andy Wigley, famous rock star and developer. And he can also move slides when I forget, which is better yet. Andy, welcome.
Thank you. And the man on my left, Mr. Rob Miles, lecturer at Hull University. Many students have got him to thank for introducing them to the delights of .NET and C#. As says, a popular blog and keen photographer.
Yes. Only in terms of actually buying cameras. I never actually take any pictures, but I take them out of them. I buy cameras and cases. I love doing that, but take the occasional picture as well. I'm into the course schedule now. We are. Okay, this is how it works. Andy and I will sit here and tell you stuff for about 7 hours today and 7 hours tomorrow, but it'll seem much longer. Okay, we're starting off with an introductory element for those people that haven't actually written code for phone and maybe not even that familiar with how Studio fits together. So this one is going to run for about an hour or so. Then we're going to look at Silverlight, both intro and advanced, move on to Expression Blend, which is the master here, the blend master. We'll take that.
I'll teach you something about
Expression Blend. Keep with it. I'm bigging you up here. This is not crossing anything. Then we're going to look at fast application switching, which is a big mango thing, and it's important that you get your head around that if you want to sell your apps. Multitasking and background, equally useful, equally new in Mango, all good stuff. And a final pièce de résistance, that's a good word for today, which is the phone resources, Bing Maps and the camera and what have you. And so that will be towards the end of the sessions today. Then tomorrow morning we wake up bright and early and come back and do it all again, but with different things. Application storage, using networks, tiles and notifications, and some XNA, which I'm looking forward to, and then how to become rich, how to sell your applications.
And it's worth clarifying for those of you who were with us last year, when we did the jumpstarts last year for Windows Phone 7.0, first of all, a very warm welcome to you and welcome back. But this course is not just on the Mango stuff, so we really are aiming it at anybody who is interested in developing apps for Windows Phone. And of course, it's focused on the new release of the platform, which is Windows Phone Mango as its code name, or Windows Phone 7.5 as it's going to be called in the marketplace. But so a lot of the content in here obviously is covering the Mango stuff, but if you're already an experienced Windows Phone developer, you might want to go and make a cup of tea for the next hour, to be honest, or something like that.
And then drink it. That's the other important bit.
Yeah.
Because making the tea is no fun. Yeah. You just look at it and go, oh, it's tea. Feature feedback, there's a good place to go. We love feedback. If you hear that loud whistling noise, you'll know... That was not funny. Moving on. So please use the link. Give us feedback. Feedback helps us be betterer than next time. Than last time. Whatever. Moving on. Okay. So to the meat of the thing. Oh, there will be prizes. There will be competitions. There will be jokes.
Not too many, I hope.
Not too many. No. I had a stern word about that. And so you'll find out all about that as we go along. So basically, it's like being on a really long flight, and me and Andy are your in-flight entertainment.
And there's no escape.
And there's no escape.
Actually, there is
with,
for you guys.
With 30,000 feet, we'll find you if you try and leave. We're nice like that. Okay, so if you've not seen Visual Studio 2010 before, then this session will be interesting. If you have, then as Andy said, not a bad time for a cuppa or a comfort break. But towards the end, we'll be talking about some of the rather specialised and interesting emulator-type things you can do, particularly the newfangled emulation features in Mango. So that's worth sticking around for, and that will come towards the end of this one-hour slot. Okay? So please stay around for that, because it's all good stuff. When you use Visual Studio, as you all know, it's called an Integrated Development Environment, or IDE, and it's how you make your programs. Effectively, it's a one-stop shop for the applications. You build them, you manage them, you add resources, you run the thing, you debug it in emulation or in real device, and then you actually manage the whole thing and even ship it out pretty much to marketplace for selling from within this one tool. So it's a great place to work. It's the only place to work. And I still believe it is the best IDE on the planet. And if the Martians turn up, they won't have one as good as this. I reckon it's the best one in the universe, and I haven't been proved wrong yet. Speculation continues on that one. As far as the way it works is concerned, I'm going to do a bit of housekeeping here to bring you up to speed in terms of how Windows applications fit together, because some of the way the phone works actually hangs on this, and so it's kind of worth knowing. As far as a program is concerned on Windows Phone and on other .NET platforms, we have these things called assemblies, and an assembly contains a bunch of stuff, including a manifest which tells you what's there. And this can be your program, it can be the icons for your application's buttons, it can be any of the sound effects, it can be all kinds of good stuff that makes the program work. And it contains an entry point if it's executable, which is the place where the program starts to run, okay? So this is effectively how things fit together. And if you make a project in Visual Studio, that tells the system how to make one assembly, which is then a lump of stuff which gets pushed into your device. Now, when you start using Visual Studio to make phone apps, you'll find solutions contain multiple projects sometimes, as different elements have different jobs to do in terms of making the app work. And it's kind of useful to know how this fits together, particularly if you look at the new Mango stuff, where you can now start putting XNA and Silverlight elements together to make a single app. That's a really important feature and a really useful thing to have around. So we'll cover that a bit later. Yep, here's a solution. This is a little custom application that I made with a data library. And so this one here, the one in bold, is the one that will actually run when I run the program. And this one here is a library of routines. One of the fun things about Mango and Visual Studio and Phone and .NET is you can take a single lump of code which you've written for your desktop app, and if it does the business logic, you can drop it into your mobile app as well. So if you've got some .NET code you've written already, which you're quite pleased with and works well, then there's no reason why you can't think in terms of reusing that code on the mobile platform. It's something which means you can get your business logic in one place.
Yep.
Andy, by the way, is on quality control duties. So if I say, I say something wildly stupid, like, oh, and you can make cheese with Visual Studio, then he'll pull me up on that, and quite right, too. So there you go. Those are the two projects, data library and customer app. And then we've got customer app is the bit that makes it work, and then data library is the bit that shows you where the elements are. And one of the things you can do, which is really interesting, is you can actually put multiple device targets into a single application. So I could write a single solution which contains a program that runs on desktop and one that runs on the phone, and then flip between them, should you wish to do that. Templates are important, and there's a whole bunch of new ones in Mango. A template is basically a pre-built solution for you with all the bits you need to get started, which effectively is a Hello World app for whatever you're building. And there's a whole bunch of these, and we'll be using different ones as we go through. They're your starting point. You don't have to build anything by hand or mess around.
There's a curious breed of zealots who believe that the only true way to create software is to start in Notepad or Emacs or something, and write it all out by hand, into a text document. But of course, the beauty of these templates is they do get you started with your basic structure is given to you, and you have a working project that right from the get go that you can start to add your own functionality into. So it saves you a lot of effort. And there's quite a few different ones there that are targeted at slightly different kinds of applications.
Yeah, and we'll come across those as we go through the session. So, yeah, these, we never start anywhere other than templates. Although we could build it by hand, it's not what you do. You don't make your own car, and you get somebody else's car and drive it. So that's the kind of thing we're doing here with templates. Silverlight, effectively, again, Silverlight apps are the line of business apps, the ones that you use to do sort of useful application type stuff. And there is a template that lets you build these. And I'll just to see if my demo thing all works, I shall now actually build one. So this is my desktop. Hopefully you can all see that now. There you go. And if I open up Visual Studio from start, then I can make us a brand new Visual Studio. Now, you will do this. You will download the tools, and this can be the first thing you ever do, should you wish to have a go at this. Okay. So now I'm running Visual Studio. And I now go into my File, New, Project, and Studio will rush off and actually look for all the templates and then display a whole bunch of them for you. Now, if you don't see any Windows Phone templates, then this might mean you're using a version of Studio that hasn't got the Windows Phone SDK added to it. If you download the one from create.msdn.com, you will get all this stuff. If you don't, then you're actually...
Which, yeah, we haven't mentioned, is free.
It's coming. Yes, all free. Everything we're showing you is free because we like stuff that's free. So I make myself a Windows Phone Silverlight app. I can call it what I like, and I click on OK. And at this point, we're actually getting asked, where do you want to make this? Now, like Andy said, Windows Phone Mango is called 7.5.
But
the tools and the OS are called 7.1.
This bothers some people.
This is an issue, but not one to lie awake at night worrying about. Just go for the 7.1 to get all the Mango goodness. Hit OK.
I think we need to nail this one now.
Okay.
Yeah, so what actually has happened is here, 7.0 was the first release of Windows Phone. And, of course, the development team who are building the Mango version we call Mango, they started, obviously, on this a long time ago, and they named it 7.1. And then a short while after that, product marketing decided that the whole package, and by that we mean not just the development tools, but obviously the phone, the built-in apps, the user experience, so the whole package of what a consumer buys is going to be called 7.5. So as far as you as developers are concerned, it really doesn't matter. 7.1 and 7.5 and Mango, they're all the same thing. So when you in Visual Studio, you will see 7.1 being mentioned, but it is the product that the consumer will know as 7.5.
Yeah, basically, version numbers are pretty much meaningless in many situations. Apple call their things after different kinds of animals, and they have to find a thing bigger than a lion for the next version of their OS, which will be interesting. But, yeah, as far as you're concerned, hit the 7.1, get the Mango goodness, and then if you press the Run button, you can actually see a program running inside a pretend phone on your desktop. So another important message here, to get going, you don't have to have your own personal device. It's nice, but to get started, you can just use the emulator, which in a minute will run the empty Silverlight app that I've just created. And it really is as simple as that. And the app just comes up, tells you its name and where it's from. You can change those things, and you're in business. So that's all good to see.
Good app, Rob.
Absolutely. One of my better ones, I do believe. So I'll stop that, and then I'll get rid of that thing, and I'll go back to where I was, and we'll continue with the deck. Now, the process is exactly the same for building the XNA application. Okay, XNA games, we have the same project process, a different template. The structure of the solution, though, is something which we're spending a bit of time on. If you look at a Windows XNA application, I won't show you this because it's just the same principle. If you look carefully at what gets produced, though, we have a content project which contains all the elements of the game, all the assets, all the sound effects, all the textures, all the models, all the scripts to control whatever it is that's in the game. So there's a specific split in terms of the way that XNA works, which allows the developer to actually just lob the content into the content project and have the system place it on the Xbox, on the Windows PC, or on the Windows Phone, because you can write XNA games that will work on all three platforms. So if you follow the XNA template, you will get that, and away you will go, and it will be good. So we'll whiz past that one. If you've not written an XNA game before in your life, if you are a developer who's written Windows Forms apps and all that kind of good stuff, XNA games work in a different way to Silverlight. XNA games don't have things where you press buttons to make stuff happen. In an XNA game, stuff is happening 30 times a second. So your application works by redrawing the screen 30 times a second, by updating the game engine 30 times a second. This is called repeatedly for you by the game, and it's how games work. So there's a bit of a paradigm shift, to use a technical term, if you actually go for that. But it's pain-free, and it's very well packaged, and I'll be covering that tomorrow afternoon straight after lunch. So if you want to come back and find out more about XNA games at that point, that's fine. This is something which you really should take on board there, because this is lovely, wonderful. XNA is great for writing games. Silverlight's great for writing things with buttons and user inputs.
And text, of course.
And text, absolutely. Yep. So it's always been the case that to make an XNA game with menus is kind of hard work, because you have to do the draw update thing and all kinds of twiddly bits and pieces to catch it. Not impossible, but just a bit tedious. So what you can do on the phone now is you can have an application that contains both Silverlight and XNA. And the idea is that you can place XNA controls even on your gameplay page, should you wish to do this, so that you've got all the button management stuff, so all your menus can be in Silverlight, and your gameplay can be in XNA.
And things like your top scorer history and that kind of textual-based stuff is much easier done in Silverlight than in XNA.
Absolutely. So the idea is that we could get the best of both worlds and make a single app that contains both components. And if you do that, and again, I'll just show you this on the screen because I want to make sure that we hit all our timing deadlines. You wind up with three projects. You've got the server XNA, which is actually the thing that does the running, a bunch of XNA library code, and an XNA library content, which is where your assets all live. Now, I'll be doing all this and building an app tomorrow afternoon where I'll be showing you how the buttons actually bind inside an XNA app, how you render the Silverlight page within the XNA app. That's all in mind-numbing detail. No, glorious detail sounds better. So we'll be doing all that tomorrow afternoon. So please come back for that, because it's extremely good stuff, and it's a big step forward, because it means that all the pause menus, the select your type of armor, the what kind of car you want to drive, put in your high score name, all that kind of stuff, done for you in Silverlight, very, very easy. So stick with that. As you can see here, when you make a combination program, effectively you've got a special page that contains a link to your Silverlight, so to your XNA app. Click the button and away you go. And so we can move between the Silverlight and the XNA pages with consummate ease. That's the blue screen that XNA produces. And I click on the link and the XNA runs, and I then go back to Silverlight, and it all works terribly clever, it is. It's better than the Xbox. Xbox can't do this, and the phone can. So that's rather nice. So please do this. Please take advantage of it, because it'll make your life a lot easier. If you're an XNA person that wants to figure out how to make menus much more easily, come along tomorrow afternoon, and we'll cover that in riotous detail. That seems even better. Like it says here, multiple targets in a single solution, not a problem. Very, very easy to do. So, little review for this part. We've got three parts in this session just before 10 o'clock, or whatever the hour is where you live. Studio brings things together. An assembly contains a packaged lump of stuff that forms part of a complete solution. And we can, if we wish, make a single solution that targets different apps. Or we can reuse code in different libraries. It all fits together very nicely. And so there we go. This stuff, again, how we run programs on the platform, all good stuff. And now we're going to take a look at some phone-specific stuff, how we hit the phone, how we hit the emulator, and how we do a little bit of debugging. Because debugging the applications on the phone is great fun and really easy. One of the things you'll need to get hold of before you can deploy to the phone device is the Zune program, which you can download from Zune.net. And this is basically the media management solution and the phone connection solution for consumers who buy phones and plug them into their PCs. And this is also used as the conduit that links the PC and your phone for program deployment. So you download and install this and set it running, and then you go off and you register your phone. Now, if you're a registered developer, if you've paid your $99, and again, a lot more on that tomorrow afternoon in the afternoon session on selling your applications, you can unlock your phone so you can put your own programs onto it. And this is a process you do once when you've got the phone and your registration sorted out. And if you're a developer, you can register up to three phones, which you can then put your code into, which is great. And then just pull down the device you want to hit from Visual Studio, and then deploy the program and run it and debug it and single step it just as you would any other. And it'll all come out in the wash, and it all just works. And the super magic, wonderful thing is that you can actually debug the programs inside the phone as they run. So you can debug code on the device. You can put breakpoints in as the program is running. So it's all wonderful stuff. Until you leave the lock screen on, at which point it doesn't deploy. You have to click and open it up, and you get a message. And the other slight issue, if you're in this business, you'll find the applications that use media that play stuff or try and fetch content from the images will actually not like it if the Zoom client is running at the same time. Now, there's a way of fixing this if you've got this problem, and I'll give you some magic words to look for in the help. Windows Phone Desktop Pass-Through Connection Program is the magic to look for. You can find it in the slides. It's a program that replaces the Zoom program to link your phone to Visual Studio. And if you want to debug programs that use media, that is your new best friend. So, okay, so just, again, a little thing to remember. If you hit that snag, this is how you get around it. And it's an easy thing to sort out. Once you put the application on the phone, it sits there forever. So you have that app on your phone. And you can put up to 10 of your own applications on your own phone. And if you want to, I could send Andy copies of my compiled programs for Andy to run and say nice things about.
Indeed.
Which, of course, he would do. Yeah. Okay, so you can push compiled versions of your code around. Of course, if you do that, you're giving them your program. So there's one or two things you do have to watch when you do that. But here's the emulator. This is showing that the first program we're actually going to build, which is monumentally complicated, and will actually add numbers together for you. And so it's basically going to run this thing, and we'll have a play with this a little bit later. If you're using the emulator, it's not got everything in there. It has the browser and phone behaviors for things like placing calls and sending SMS, and you can read the address book, and we'll be doing that later. You can also use the camera and the GPS and the motion sensors, and they all work. And you can also catch screenshots of the program running, which is very useful for making marketplace submissions and other stuff like that. It works whether games are running or whether whatever's running. You can just catch the program pictures and run with them. So it's a nice place to work. And you can debug your programs inside the emulator exceptionally easily. Breakpoint, single stepping, all the good stuff, viewing and modifying variables, all that kind of thing.
Incidentally, we've had a question on about how good is the emulator, how faithful a version of a real device is it? You know, is it going to be a pretty shabby simulation, and you're going to get problems running on a real phone? Well, the answer to that is this: the emulator is an extremely good emulation. It's running the proper OS. Your apps are running in a very environment that's very close to a real phone. I mean, we'd always recommend that you try and test on a real phone ultimately, but you can certainly do almost all your developments on the emulator and not find later on that you're going to run into too many unexpected problems if you're on a real device.
I've had students who've basically built their programs using nothing but the emulator and got them in Marketplace and been selling them with no problems when they've never had a phone of their own.
That's
which,
right.
which is quite...
The only thing is, of course... Because your emulator is running on your desktop hardware, it will tend to run perhaps just a little bit faster than a real device. So there's issues like that. But
the performance is the one. If it's a game and you're using the touch side, there is no substitute for actually having a physical device that you move your fingers on. The emulator gets very close, but for the game side, I do try and tell people to put it on a real device at some point. But you can send somebody your game as a zap file from Studio, and they can try it and feedback. I was doing this for people as well when I was helping them write programs. They had wanted to see it on a real thing. But it's very faithful indeed. It's the same code base running on both platforms, so it should be. Breakpoints, you can put breakpoints in your program even when it's running, which I still think is amazing. And it's the same old, click on the breakpoint, line turns brown, away we go, and the program will stop when it hits that. And so if you're a studio programmer, then you're just at home in your happy place. And you can view the variable contents, you can do all the good stuff, and it works exactly as you would expect, which I think is pretty magical. And you can single step, at the moment, we're on the yellow line, it hasn't run yet. Now, if you're a Visual Studio developer, you're saying, well, why is he telling me this? And the answer is because it's kind of special. I think it's great that you can do this in a physical device on the end of a cable. I think it's just lovely. And you've got the usual buttons to control it and do all the good stuff that you would do if you were controlling your program on the large thing. Again, if you're new to Windows Phone and Visual Studio, then whatever device you've been using, whatever application ID you've been using, Studio has basically got even more than that. So this is what their buttons look like. And work even better. So there you go. And you can manage breakpoints, you can find them, turn them off, and do all kinds of interesting stuff. And you have a thing called the immediate window, which is even wonderfuler. Not many programmers are going to, not everyone knows about this. You can type in your own stuff and change the contents of values on the fly, which is just, so you can, if a number's wrong, you can make it right in the program, press go and have it continue. In fact, we might even have a play with that at the moment, because we're now going to debug an adding machine which is broken. So I'm going to go and have a go. Actually, now this is real live debugging. This is nerves of steel stuff. So I'm going to drop back to my desktop. I'm going to go into my directory. We'll be putting out all these demonstrations, all this sample code out for you to take a look at. So you will have a copy of this to play with should you wish. I built this as a Silverlight app. It's very simple. It takes two numbers and adds them together. And if I just run the program, I don't expect a huge round of applause. A little ripple might be nice because it does actually, it takes two numbers in and adds them together.
And, that's impressive.
It's good, isn't it? Yes. It. So if I go in here and I type the value 2, and I go in here and I type the value 2, this program will tell us the actual result of adding 2 and 2. Comes up with 4. Unfortunately, if I go in here and type 22 and click on equals, it still says 4. So it only works. Not perfect. So we decide we'll leave the program running. Let's go have a look at the code. So if I drop into the actual source file, and I'll just make that nice and big so everyone can see it. This is my code that works out the result. And this is called when the button is pressed, okay? So what we do is we basically put a breakpoint in here when the program's running. We drop back into the adding machine. We hit equals and bang, I've hit that. Now, the sharp-eyed amongst you have probably actually spotted the error here. And it's an oldie but a goodie. Block copy is actually the work of the devil and evil. If you use block copy to write your programs, you will suffer. And this is an example of that in action. If I step through my program, go back and have a look at the emulator screen. We've got 2 in the top text box, 22 in the bottom one. So I step over that line there. If I can find the step button, there we go. So now V1 has got 2 in it. Perfect. Step over the next line. And now V2 has also got 2 in it.
Beats me. I can't see it right.
You can't see it. Okay, no. Well, it's all down to here. I'm reading the wrong text box. I'm reading the same text box twice, the first number text box, and then the first one again. So that's my problem. So V2's got a 2 in it. I could kind of fix it by going V2 equals 22. If I want to do that, I can change it in the music. I just love this. This is great. And if I now go run on and then go look in my window, I've got 24. But a more long-term solution would be to change that name there to second number text box. And then my program will work correctly. Now, this is all good stuff. It also, I think it's, there's a lesson there about how you actually test your programs as well as how you actually write them. But it's all good stuff. And so the thing I want you to understand, I want the takeaway from this is, yeah, don't use block copy and, wrong one, oh gosh, and can I go back to the one I wanted to, please, because I'm, that's good. There you go. I'm happy now. So you can debug stuff as easily on the phone as you can on the desktop. And if you're new to Windows Phone, the experience is wonderful. I use lots of extra. I could have made it all one statement. That would have made debugging even harder. So Robert likes to put things together in little chunks because he's like that. And this is all good stuff. So you can get everything from the emulator apart from performance and, to an extent, touch. If you are lucky and have a multi-touch monitor or screen or something, one of the fancy new mice, apparently, says Jeff, you can actually use multi-touch on that device, and that goes through into the phone on the emulator. So you can touch things and squeeze and pinch and stuff, and that works very well. You can step through programs, put breakpoints in while they're running, and do all that kinds of good stuff, and it all works. And so we're going on to the final chunk for this chunk. The final chunk of the chunk.
Right.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Moving on.
Oh, just actually, before you go on, Rob, there were a couple of questions about what's the best edition of Visual Studio for mobile app development, and can I do unit testing and this sort of thing. So just to, you said you were going to talk about the freeness of
the
tools.
Yes, the freeosity.
The freeosity of the tools, yeah. I'm sure that's a word, Rob.
I used it in Scrabble.
Yeah, the deal is, if you go to App Hub, the website aimed at Windows Phone developers, you can download all the development tools for free, and you get a Visual Studio 2010 Express Edition. That actually has everything you need And all the stuff that Rob's been showing you, that has everything you need to develop apps for Windows Phone. If you get to a higher SKU, as they call it, a higher edition of Visual Studio, such as Professional, then obviously you can make more complex apps, but it's kind of things like it allows you to have in the same solution a back-end web service as well as your phone app in the same solution, and that's that sort of thing you can't do in the Express Edition for phone. So when you get to be a bit more sort of perhaps enterprise-oriented development, then you'll want to be looking at the higher editions. But of course, you have to pay for them.
Yeah.
So, but in terms of just creating phone apps, everything you need is in the free tools.
And it's one stop, one download, and all the tools appear as though by magic. Yeah.
And also the thing that Rob was saying about having a solution that's built up of a number of different projects, and you might have your business logic in a class library, and you can use all the regular Visual Studio unit testing tools to test that business logic if you've got one of the paid editions of Visual Studio. And then there's also stuff on CodePlex for Silverlight unit testing as well. So there's plenty of stuff available that will support you if you want to do unit testing.
Yeah, it's the starting point is a free one. If you've got one of the paid ones, it just installs itself alongside those and the templates appear. You just use them and it all just works. It's very, very nice. Like I says here, there's not everything you need. Well, it's everything you need, but not all the stuff in the emulator. There's no Zoom. There's only the browser, nothing else. But you can use it to do stuff and test your apps and prove they work, and it's even easier in Mango. It's even better. It's not a reliable performance indicator, depending on your PC. But it does work, and we've shipped product based on it. That's how you deploy to it. You've already seen that slide or something similar. And we've actually seen the adding machine and even debugged it, which is amazing. It's a complete phone, runs inside your PC. You can use the browser on the phone, and so you can check how your web pages would look on a phone like that very easily as well. So if you want to do that kind of thing, that works a treat. That's deja vu. I've had that sense deja vu before. Am I going down? What's happening here? Okay. Right, there you go. You can use a PC mouse to touch on the screen. If you have multiple touch points, you can use those. And you can use the touch keyboard just by clicking on the keys, and it all just works. It's wonderful. If you want to, here's a little trick. If you press the pause / break key, then you can actually turn on the PC keyboard and then use the PC keyboard instead. So if you want to actually type things rather than touching anything on the screen, you can press that key, and that effectively turns the emulator into a Windows phone with a keyboard, and the keyboard is your PC's keyboard.
Well, the page up key does the same.
Page up key does the same. He's quite correct, yes. And if you flip it round, you can change from landscape to portrait and back again, and the programs are told they've changed location and all that kind of good stuff as well. There's someone visiting a very, very good website, one of the best, in landscape orientation. Know that you can't use the phone completely upside down. You can't turn it with the controls on the top. Not quite sure why. Maybe the letters would fall off the screen, I'm not sure, but that's one of the things you can't do. You can also emulate the camera. You don't get much. You get a black blob that moves around, but at least it proves to you that your program is able to pull in video and do things with it. Later on, we'll be looking at the new features in Mango and looking at how you can capture the live video stream from the camera. And if you do that, the emulation still works there as well. So you're getting that moving blob traveling across your screen as well, which is nice. I have a little program called Photosnap, which does exactly what it says on the tin. It takes a picture, goes off and actually fetches that. If it's all okay with everybody, I want to keep the time, so we'll probably you can download that and play with it, but basically it proves to everybody that the camera works. But I'm sure we've got more interesting things to do just right now, so I'll keep on going there, because this one is actually a much more interesting thing to look at. We can now emulate the position of the phone.
So this is a new feature in the Mango tools. And it's very nice because it allows you to develop location-sensitive apps without, you know, kind of trying to walk around your garden with a 50-meter USB cable attached to your phone, these kind of things. So you can actually sit at your desk and feed in from the location emulator. You can actually feed in an XML file that has locations in it, or you can simply drag the map around, as Rob is about to show you.
Yeah, I mean, you can build your own little traversal, which you wish, and then play it back at any speed you like. You can create the XML yourself or record it using the emulator itself as well. In terms of how it works, We are going to be doing some stuff on how to use Bing Maps and location a bit later, but effectively, if you're used to writing code that uses delegates to bind to events, if you're a C# programmer, effectively that's what you get. You bind to a thing that fires when the phone detects it's been moved, and then away you go. And as you click on the map to move the location, the actual program keeps up with you, moves around to follow suit. And we can show that working. This one is well worth taking a look at, so we'll do exactly that. So I'll go into here. And again, I can't keep saying this often enough, I guess. We will be giving out all this code, so you'll be able to actually find out how it works and have a little play with it. So, yeah, no worries at all. So if I fire up another Visual Studio project, you can get this code and play with it later. This is going to actually use the location emulation, and you can see there's actually some of the code that's bound to the event handler, which is fired when the phone is moved. If I run this program up, it will deploy to the emulator, which I'll pop up on the screen so we can see it. There it is. And so the program is now running, and it's called My Location. And if I open up the advanced area, then I can now click on the location part of the emulation, and I can, where should we go? Let's go to Bellevue. So if I click in Bellevue, then the program events are fired, and the application now shows me now in Bellevue. And if I go there, we're going somewhere else. I could go to Hull, should I wish to do that, but it's a bit of scrolling. But the beautiful thing about this is the code is very simple and there's hardly any of it. That's a very boring place. Actually, let's try somewhere a bit more, a few more roads. It's very, very, very easy to integrate mapping behaviors into your apps and then test them using the emulator. I've actually got a little pre-recorded traversal that I made. You can see the points here are all numbered. If I want to, I can save that route and then replay it at a particular rate, so you can tell the thing how fast you want it to fire. So as Andy said, if you want to actually create a journey and then use that to test your application against, you can do just that. So you've got close to unit testing for things like location-based applications, which is terribly powerful and really nice. And we're giving you all the code to do this. And later on today, we'll be looking at how you can use the Bing Maps control in your app and also how you can use the Bing Maps chooser.
That's actually the end of the final session of the day.
That's right. That's the jewel in the crown, if you like. So we'll be doing all that later on. But it is incredibly easy to do. And it's something which I was gobsmacked to use it. That's a Yorkshire term, which means quite impressed. But I really was by just how easy it is to get location and use it in a phone app. It's beautifully put together, very nicely thought out. So there you go. One thing you have to be aware of in terms of using phones is that the actual phone can be tipped. This is used in gameplay when players can control the orientation of their objects in the game by tipping it. It's also used by the phone to detect when you go from landscape to portrait and back. And the emulator provides complete emulation of this. We have an orientation tab which shows us a picture of the phone which we can then tip and twist and move, and the sensor readings your program gets reflect the position you put the phone into in the emulator, and it all works extremely well. And we have a little demo, better yet, so let's go have a look at that. We have over 50 demos, do you know that?
Well,
of various bits and pieces over the next day and a bit, so gosh, we are giving you value for non-money. It's amazing. So if I just drop into here, we can do... And again, this is a very simple piece of code which gets the pitch, yaw, and what's the role values, and displays them. It's a Silverlight application, but you can do the same thing in XNA, and it will just work. Okay. Right. We did have this thing where if... something goes wrong, I have to buy Andy a drink. But we didn't do a pinky swear on it, so it doesn't actually count. So let's see if that works. I've moved these projects around a little bit, and that can cause the build to not quite work. So here we go. It's firing up. And it's just showing me X, Y, and Z values. And if I get hold of the emulator and I flip back into accelerometer, I can now twist and turn the phone, and you can see the numbers change. And so you'd actually get a It's not perfect, because there's no substitute for doing that with a real device, but it's certainly good enough for first-level gameplay testing and for sanity checks. And as you can see, the 3D image is quite well realized and gives you a nice feel for where things are. So that's effectively how you would do that. At this point, I will press stop, and I will go back to the slides. There you go. So you've seen that. You get the code for that. Great for writing tippy games. Very good for that. So, screenshots. Yep, there's also a tab in the emulator where you can effectively line the thing up. One of the weird things about the phone is it's 800 pixels high is the phone screen, which is quite high. And it feels quite big on most screens, on most PC screens. But you can capture that, put it in a file, and use it for documentation or for the marketplace or whatever you like. And it's all good. You can zoom in and out and get different scaling should you wish to do it. You can get warnings if you capture it the wrong size. So it's all splendid and terrific, and here's how you do it. You get them out as PNG files, so they're not compressed in any way. They're lossless, and they look quite nice. So there you go. You can do everything with the emulation you can do with the real device, including move it around and tip it about, which is very nice, and even pull in pictures. And you can capture the screenshots that look the best. So, right, that's it. At this point, we've hit the end stops on this particular part of the session. Keep the questions coming. We'll be back on the top of the hour with the next session, which is an intro to Silverlight, and more talking from me. But for now, we have around a 5-minute break, which I'm going to use. There's a 10-minute break. Oh, I've got a 10. Oh, 10, okay. 10-minute break, which I'm going to use, and we'll be back just after the hour. So thank you very much. Hope it's been fun, and we'll see you in a few moments.
See you soon.
Absolutely.